This prayer seminar, we have been looking at the name, the import of the name of Jesus. And it has been exciting since we started. And if you didn't start with us, I want to please implore you to get to the technical department and get the message from the first day. It will put you on the same page with us, the ground that we have been able to cover so far, because there's so much to say. And we trust God that the rest of the meetings that are left will be able to say much more by the Spirit of God, things that ought to be said. And so, Hebrews in chapter 1, though this is a prayer seminar, we're looking at the effectiveness of that living prayer, praying in the name, or the effectiveness of that living prayer. But then there is no way we can look at the effectiveness of the name without finding out what the name means. Is it just a mantra? Is it a cliche? The more understanding we have of the import, the majesty, the glory that the Father has invested in that name, the more we understand ourselves as new creations. So it's not a talisman. It's not a quick fix. It's not something we just mention when we're in trouble. It's not something we pronounce when we want to cut cakes or celebrate someone's birthday. It's not any of those things. It's a reservoir of all the Father's wealth. And that is tremendous. It's a reservoir of all the Father's wealth. So I implore you to, though because of the prayer session we're going to have shortly after, it's not so much how long we pray, but the intensity of our prayer and our understanding when we're praying that produces results, as we understand again that we're praying in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we'll not be able to entertain questions. You can put your questions till later. Then we'll sit down and trash the questions. Is it good to have questions when you have Bible study? Yes. It's actually a sign that we're learning when we have questions. So questions are always good. They're a sign that we're paying attention and we're learning. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners, speaking time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in this last day, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The phrase at sundry times in diverse manners, it actually refers to in separate portions of revelation and in different dispensations, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. So whatever the fathers had was a partial revelation of God. And so we concluded that the names that people called God in the Old Testament was not a title. The names that people began to call God from the Old Testament were specific, distinct revelations that they had of God. It means that God revealed himself to the fathers in the Old Testament by certain specific names. Those names were not titles. They were a revelation of his personality, his character, and his ability. Very important. So we notice that speaking to Moses in the book of Exodus, we saw chapter 3 and chapter 6. We saw that in chapter 6, God referred to how he revealed himself unto Abraham. And he said, I revealed myself unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are three fathers. Remember, it says, God who has sundry times in diverse manners, speaking time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. The phrase last day simply means that at the end of the age, God has completed what he began to communicate to the fathers by communicating to us through his Son. In order for you to understand what it means when he says that he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, he's trying to give us an impression of the fact that the complete, total, and perfect revelation of God is conveyed through Jesus Christ. Notice he says that who being the brightness of his glory and the express image or the exact replica of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. So in separate portions of revelations, which was incomplete, the revelation that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had of God was partial. God spoke to Moses when Moses was having a challenge carrying out the assignment. He said, I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, or the double-breasted one. He said, but my name, Adonai, was I not known unto them. So they didn't have the revelation of God's redemptive ability. The word Adonai is a the Redeemer himself, the Lord Most High, the Redeemer himself. So they didn't, I didn't appear to them in that dimension. So we notice that in chapter 3 of Exodus, when he appeared unto Abraham, unto Moses and said, I am that I am. The Greek original uses that I will be what I will be. The Hebrew says, I will be what I will be. I am what I am and I will be what I will be. That was God letting them know that I'm the self-existent one and I will carry out my plans and purpose independent of any individual or anyone. I was before the beginning was and I will be after the end has come. So God was, so to speak, revealing himself to the different names that was revealed unto the patriarchs or the fathers. The Bible now says, in these last days, he has spoken to us or he has completed the revelation through his son. And the son is the express image of this person and the exact replica of God's personality. The Bible says, after he had by himself purged our sins. So it shows us, when did God communicate that knowledge through the Son? It was a process by which Jesus went and became our substitutionary sacrifice. When he had by himself purged our sins, is another way of saying, when he had made an end of sin forever. He paid the price for our sin, which is for our redemption. That's why there is no gospel outside of the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is not one of the things that happens to a believer. It is a thing that made you a believer. There is no gospel outside of the forgiveness of sin. Another word for redemption is the forgiveness of sins. It means the wiping away of the old man and the recreation of a new one. That's what it means. So after he had by himself purged our sins, remember what he's communicating. God, who has sundry times in diverse manners, in time past, spoke unto fathers by the prophets. In this last day, he has spoken to us by his son. How did he speak? After he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. So Jesus is purging our sins. Jesus is being buried. Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' ascension. Jesus is sitting by the Father's right hand. Is the Father speaking to us through the Son? After he by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of majesty on earth. So yesterday we began to see, because when we say we're praying in the name or we're studying the import behind the name, we're not referring to J-E-S-U-S. And it's important as believers that we must understand that. Because a name is significant. It reveals character. It reveals personality. It reveals ability. So if God, in separate dispositions and revelations, revealed himself through the name, it means therefore that there is an import that he wants us to understand when we study the name of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. Let me read from verse 19 so that it can make sense. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. This is the story of Joseph after he discovered that his betrothed was pregnant or was found with a child. But while he thought on these things, verse 20, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Notice that. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. So in the name that was given at his first coming to the earth was a revelation of what was meant to accomplish. For he shall save his people from their sins. That phrase, his people, is a revelation of the fact that the person is referring to must be God himself. Because this is a baby that's about to be born. How did they become his people? Hallelujah. He shall save his people from their sins. So when he says his people, means that the same one who had been dealing with them from the Garden of Eden, who had been dealing with them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same one now is about to be born. Remember, he told Moses, I am that I am, and I will be all I will be. Now, in fulfillment of that scripture, he was now becoming the Son of Man by the incarnation. And as a Son of Man, he will be given a name. And that name is a pointer to what he will accomplish, which is salvation. He will save his people from their sins. I am that I am. In his ability, as I am that I am, he became the Son of Man. So if what it took was to become a man, he became a man for the purpose of rescuing and delivering his people from their sin. So what he was called, Jesus, when he was born, or when he became an incarnation, is different from what is called right now. If there is no difference, then what we have is just D-E-S-U-S. And before Jesus was ever named Jesus, other people were bearing Jesus. In the Hebrew, it's the same word for Joshua. Joshua was a type. The Lord is salvation. That's what he means. He will save his people from their sins. So God used names to reveal different aspects of himself. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 1. From verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Who is Him? Who is Him? Who is Him? No, let's stay in context. Who is Him? The Word. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. So what was in the beginning? The Word. All was present before the beginning, the Word. So the Word is the beginning of all things. And it says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. John's account of Jesus is a revelation of how He was before He became a son. Please pay close attention. This is how He was before He became a son. His sonship first of all came about by His incarnation. He became the Son of Man. The only difference was that the conception process by which he became the Son of Man didn't come through the normal activity of a man. He was given birth to by the seed of God. So let's pick up that story in the same chapter 1. Look at verse 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh, or the Word put on flesh, wrapped flesh around itself, but the Word wasn't flesh. The Word put on flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. What does it mean to dwell among us? It means we could physically see Him. The same invisible Word that couldn't be seen before. We physically saw Him because He was like one of us. The Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten here is a reference to His divinity. That the Father had never given back before until this particular situation. So He's speaking about Jesus's divine origin here. The only begotten of the Father. Pay attention to those times, because later when we speak about Him as the first begotten from the dead, you will see the difference. There's a difference. Once you understand that difference, you are grasping a stronger revelation of what His name means. So in the four Gospels, we see Jesus healing the sick, teaching the Word, casting out devils. What was He fulfilling? His assignment as a Savior of the world. That's what He was doing. He was teaching and preaching and healing and casting out devils. He did miracles. He did mighty signs and wonders. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten, which is the only one without sin, because He was divine in origin. His incarnation, the Word becoming flesh. And the Word was given a name, and that name was Jesus, the Son of God. Also called the Son of Man, because He was actually what? A man. Hallelujah. So a spirit coming from God, simply is, He has a divine origin without sin whatsoever. There was no way to make a man outside of the Spirit of God as without sin, since every man is tainted by sin. So His name Jesus, when He was upon the earth, meant something different. In Matthew chapter 16, when He was asking disciples a question, He said, "Who do men say that I am?" Somebody said, "Well, someone is saying that you are Elijah." And girls like, "Well, I'm here to call fire down from heaven, so I don't know why they said that." Some people say, "You are Jeremiah." So maybe because I've been weeping very much. So some will say, "Yeah, John the Baptist, that was the most ridiculous one." You all saw John the Baptist beheaded. How can you say I'm John the Baptist? Yes, okay, let us stop the rigmarole. Who do you say that I am? Because the understanding or the revelation you have of Him has a lot to do with what you are able to receive through Him. Who do you say that? I'm asking you what men think. Who do you say that I am? And everybody busy themselves doing different things. And then Peter stood up. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, the physical senses, he didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So the revelation that Peter had by the Spirit of God of Jesus when he was in the flesh was revelation as the anointed one of God. So when he sent the disciples out two by two, and they went out, and they healed the sick, and they cast out devils, and they came out rejoicing that even the demons are subject to yours in your name, in what capacity were they operating? They were operating in the capacity of the name of Jesus, the anointed one of God. Hallelujah. That's what they were operating in. It was delegated authority. It was, go using my name. Though I'm not physically there, when you're there, it will be as though I'm physically there. So it was delegated authority. The name didn't belong to them. It was given to them to work with. So there's a difference between what they worked in and what we are meant to work in. Because the circumference of the authority and the import of that name, while he was on earth as God's anointed, was greatly limited. Hallelujah. They were using the name of first begotten, or the only begotten at that time, who was physically born, and they were using the name of Jesus Christ, the anointed one of God. That's the name they were using. It was because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and they were using that name everywhere, and they were getting results. Then Jesus did some very strange things. I mean, the disciples came back rejoicing, happy, you know. And even demons are subject to us in your name. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus told them, behold, I give unto you power to the poor serpents and scorpions, and above all power of the enemy, and not just by enemies hurt you. Then he told them that the demons are subject in my name, rejoice not, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You know what he was trying to say? That what the name means now that is getting you excited is a tip of the iceberg. You're already candidates of heaven. You're already citizens of the Father's house. That's the end result. So if you have seen anything now, it's nothing close to what you're about to see when I go to the Father. That's what he was saying. And Moses, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. He agalioed. That's why I say to a believer, if you really want to be conservative, you really want to be gentlemanly, be like Jesus. You know, people say things like, I'm very reserved, I'm conservative. No, don't try to be reserved outside of Jesus. Be like Jesus. You know what it means to rejoice in the Spirit? It wasn't like this, though. No. If you check the Greek word, Jesus ran, jumped up, leaped, turned around in the air. That's what he did. It was a violent outburst of joy. It wasn't gentlemanly at all. So when we are laughing in the Spirit, and I see believers looking everywhere, I know you are not in the game yet. You don't know what's happening here. You are still like, you must still be laughing out loud. Why is that sister dancing like that? Scattering the chair. No, if you were there, when Jesus did what he did, he leaped up, spun around, and laughed hilariously. And obviously, and in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. It means there was an intensity behind that emotion that released God's glory. He said that, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Therefore, I give unto you power. Hallelujah. I think I will teach again. I will teach about rejoicing again very soon. Because we need to get into the heart. We need to understand that this is where victory is. Hallelujah. So, as Jesus was teaching that, rejoice not that demons are subject, but that your names are written in heaven. So, his name carried a different import. So, let's go now to John chapter 14. Glory, glory, glory. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the Spirit of the Son of God. I've got the life of God in me. All right, verse 1, John chapter 14, verse 1. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Figure of speech. I go to prepare a place for you. Remember what we saw yesterday when Jesus said that The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. I go to my Father is figure of speech. I go to pray a place for you is a figure of speech. He was speaking about his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation at the Father's right hand. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. That word mansions is dwelling places. He's not speaking about the physical abode. He's talking about the relationship permanently seated at the Father's right hand. That's what it means. He says there are many spaces. There are many avenues for you to enjoy the same relationship. In my Father's house, there are many abodes, spiritual dwelling places. I go to prepare a place, or I go to make it possible for you to dwell there also. That's what he was saying. So he's not talking about the physical mansion. Nope. He's talking about something greater than a physical mansion. A relationship with the Father that will never end. Glory to God. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Glory to God. That's resurrection. I go. I will die. I will bury it. I will rise. Then I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself. That where I am, where is he now? Where is he now? Where is he now? At the Father's right hand. That where I am, you may be there also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the... You see, I am. That's actually the way it was written again. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. The same way he spoke to Moses, I am that I am. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you have known him and you have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me, glory to God, has seen the Father. Then why are you saying again, show us the Father? He said, you still don't get it. I am the fullness of the revelation of the Father. The Father is exactly as I am this way. The Bible says, he being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Hallelujah. So everything he did was a revelation of the Father. It means you cannot see anything more of the Father outside what you see of Jesus. So all the revelation of the names of God from the Old Testament to the New is found in just one name. It's a name that he carries right now. I go to prepare a place. The works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go. So we begin to understand the import of the name by studying statements like, I go to prepare a place. What kind of place? Secondly, I go to the Father. Thirdly, if I go, I will come again. If I'm not with you for a short time, I will come again unto you. I will send the Comforter. So we see all these things are linked to the fact that there is a process that will take place, and that process will lead to him having a name. So that he was called Jesus when he was physically born upon the earth is different from what the name Jesus means now that he has risen from the dead. Very different. He said, the works that I do, he that believeth on me. And to believe on him, we understand. That's, I'm quoting from John, this is the same John. Look at verse 12. John chapter 14, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Verily I say unto thee, he that believeth on me. Stop. If you read that statement that as Jesus was walking physically upon the earth, those who believe on him, you have missed the import. You have missed the import. John chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, 16, 17 are the last words of Jesus before he went to the cross. So the last words are words that are meant to convey the import of what's about to happen. So they contain revelation of what is about to happen. So when it says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So whatever believing on me means has something to do with going to the Father. So to believe on him there means to receive eternal life or to become a new creation, which is only possible after he has gone to the Father. Hallelujah. The works that I do and greater. It means the ones you have seen me do physically and the ones that surpass what I've done, which means whatever going to the Father means, the implication is that you will be able to do something even greater than what I did. Glory to God. So he wasn't speaking about believing him when he was physically upon earth. He was talking about in his exalted position, he that believeth on me, which means to be born again, to receive the Spirit to indwell you. Whosoever believeth on me, the works that I do and greater works shall he do also, because I go to the Father. Look at the next verse. See what it says. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we saw that to ask in my name here is not the same thing as prayer. It means to demand in my name. Why are you demanding? You have believed on him. How did you believe on him? He has gone to the Father. And when he went to the Father, he is seated at the Father's right hand. The new birth is not possible. New creation is possible. So those who believe on him, whatsoever you ask in my name, or you demand to be yours in my name, that will I personally do, that the Father may be one glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. This is what Peter and John did at the beautiful gate in Acts chapter 3. Peter didn't pray. Looked at the man that was impotent in his feet that never walked. Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, not such as I borrowed, such as I have is my present tense possession. I have it now. I'm not using it, listen carefully, the way we used it when it was on the earth. It wasn't ours then, it was borrowed. I need you to get this. It was delegated. It's no longer delegated now. There's ownership. We own the name now. It's different. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise to your feet and walk. That was the fulfillment of that scripture. It wasn't a scripture that could fulfill when Jesus was physically upon that, because he was yet to go to the Father. Everything he spoke about were things that will happen after he has gone to the Father, which is after the new creation has been made possible, because Jesus has been what? Exalted. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Remember what I said also on the first day, that when he was physically here, he was the shepherd of Israel, and he was the last anointed prophet of the Old Testament. But when he rose from the dead, he became the savior of the whole world, not just Israel. So John chapter 3 verse 16 is now fulfilled. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That wasn't the incarnation. The incarnation, it was the first begotten or the only begotten. Not only that, he was sent primarily to Israel. But when he went to the cross, he became available to the whole world. That's when John 3:16 was given. So I said something that Christmas and Easter are not the same. Christmas is a celebration. In fact, Christmas is primarily a celebration meant for the Israelites in that sense. Easter is a celebration of the world. That's when Jesus became a gift to the whole world. Glory to God. For God so loved that he gave. When did he give him? When he went to the cross. Which is the way to get to the Father. Hallelujah. John chapter 16 now. Going to John chapter 16. Verse 23. In that day, glory to God. Which day? The day of redemption. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. You know why you're talking about Jesus? You shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. This is about to qualify verse 23. Look at verse 24 very well. Hitherto, what does hitherto mean? Up till now. Listen carefully. In that day you shall ask me nothing. That's the day of redemption. In that day of redemption, where you are now new creations, you will not need to ask me anything. It says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Either to have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive. But wait, didn't they just go out to heal the sick? Didn't they go out to cast out demons? So what does it mean you have not asked anything in my name? He is saying not in the capacity which you will ask now. Whatever you asked that time, that wasn't the fullness of the name. But in that day, when the name means what is meant to mean, ask in that day and you shall receive, not you may receive, that your joy, hallelujah, whatsoever you shall ask for that in my name, he will give it to you. Either two have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall what? Receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Look at verse 26 again. And that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, I will pray the Father for you. Did you see that? For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and I believe I command from God. So in that day, I am not going to be a go-between. You and the Father have access. I'm not going to say I will pray the Father for you. You know, it can be difficult to get away from religious thinking and tradition that Jesus is never praying for me. No, he's not praying for you. He's not praying for you because you have access to the Father also, like he has access to the Father. We pray in his name simply means in his standing, because we have the same standing. So he says, in that name, I do not say I will pray the Father. What was he doing before? He was praying to the Father for them. Why was he doing that? They were not new creations. What was he doing now? He says that in that day, I won't say you will ask the Father, or I will ask Father for you. The Father himself loves you. Let me show you something, chapter 17. Look at chapter 17. Are you ready for this? Tell your neighbor, don't choke. This is the word of God. Glory to God. Don't choke. This is the word of God. Okay. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right. Look at verse 20. This is Jesus. Remember one of the last statements said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. What's their word? Gospel. That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. In that one verse, he just spoke about the new creation again. The only way, listen carefully, that, let me read that verse 21 again. It says, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He's talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. It's coming about you and I having the nature of God. Let me read the next verse. And the glory which thou givest me, who is a new creation, the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. See, I'm one with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's teaching. He's teaching the mysteries of the new creation just before he left the earth. And he said some very strange things that you need to pray in the Holy Ghost to you to fully embrace in your mind. Let me read on. I in them, and thou in me, that may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and as loved them as thou hast loved me. Huh. Mm-hmm. Between you and Jesus, who does the Father love more? Use your church mind. Between you and Jesus, who does the Father love more? You know, your thinking will be like, of course, we all know. It must be Jesus. But Jesus just told you that when it comes to the new creation, that they may know that you have loved them as you have loved me. He's saying that the standing we have is the same. The nature we have is the same. The spirit we have is the same. So the love we have for them is the same. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus was rejoicing over when they were still boasting about demons. You don't understand. Demons is not the issue. It is that we are one. As the Father is in me, then I in you. If the Father is in me and I am in you, it means I am the Father in you. That's the indwelling of the Spirit. That's the new creation. That's what he's talking about. That they may know that you have loved me. Though I've loved them as you have loved me. The same love. If the Father had to choose between you and Jesus, he will have a hard time. Because in the Spirit, you are the exact replica. There is no difference. Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 10 says that he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one. Wherefore he is not ashamed to call us brethren. You know what brethren means? The same tribe, the same grace, the same blood, the same race, the same standing, the same Father. This is New Testament. Do you see the problem we have when we try to approach God? And in your mind you are thinking, when I'm coming to pray, Jesus will beg God. Beg who? On whose behalf? You in me, I in them. That we may all be made one. And your love may be perfected in them. That they may know that you have loved them, even as you have loved me. That's a new creation. Ephesians 3. Let me show you something. Look at verse 14. He that sanctifies. For years ago, this scripture got me singing and dancing. When I come before the Father, when I say in the name of Jesus, here's where we're going. I said it the first day. I couldn't contain myself. I said it yesterday. The name of Jesus is not yes, yes. The name of Jesus is the name God gives to the new creation. the first man to come out of the spiritual death. There have been two births now. The first one was through the womb of a woman. The second was from spiritual death. Hallelujah. So when he was born through the womb of a woman, he was given gay yes, yes, he shall save his people from their sin. When he came out of spiritual death, hallelujah, he became the firstborn from the dead. Seated at the Father's right hand. The first man to experience the new birth. The prototype. First fruits. Glory to God. Ephesians 3, verse 14. You see what it says? For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The name of Jesus is the name of the family of God. The whole family in heaven and earth is named after that same name. I bow my knees on the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, say, I'm a member of the family. I'm in God's family now. I'm no longer a stranger. I'm a fellow citizen. I'm not trying to make heaven. Heaven is in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Of whom the whole family in heaven has name. We are named by that name. We're called after that name. Glory to God. How can a believer be afraid of rapture? You have been raptured already. The Bible says we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. We have been made partakers of the divine nature. Haven't escaped the corruption that's in the world. You're not going to escape. You have escaped the corruption in the world through us. You have escaped already. Don't you understand that? He has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, whereby giving unto you exceeding great and precious promises, that by this promise you may be a partaker. You are a partaker. You are enjoying grace right now. It's not something you try to arrive at. It's not an accomplishment or destination. It's where you live, the Father's right hand. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what it means to be a new. That's what it means to have the name. The name is not five letters. The name is beyond salvation. It is God and man inescapably intertwined together, never to be separated again. That's what the new creation is. The first man to come out of. See, that he was born from one woman was one phase. That he came out of spiritual death. Death wasn't a destination, it was a passing through. After he had by himself purged our sins, when he finished paying the price, he slapped death in the face and came out. And he was given a name that was prepared for him. So when you start reading, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, because he did what no man had ever done. He was given a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess of things in heaven and of things on earth and of things under the earth. And all tongues should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. And before you start looking at him separately and yourself separately, the Bible says, and you as he quickened. Ephesians 2. Who were once dead in trespasses and sins, when in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the power of you here, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. But God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he has loved us, he has quickened us together. He has raised us together. He has made us to sit together. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Verse 10 says, therefore we are his workmanship, fabricated in Christ Jesus unto good works. You are the work of God's hands. You were personally fashioned through Christ Jesus. So when you came out, it's like Christ came out. Glory to God. So before the Father, there is no difference between you and him. You are the same. You have the same standing. I will declare your praise among my brethren. He calls you brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing your praise. And he's talking about us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is what the name means. It belongs to a twice born man. He has tasted death and slapped death in the face. Hallelujah. That he died physically wasn't the mystery. That he died spiritually, identifying with us in our sin. But that he defeated sin and rose again. Hallelujah. And he was given a name. He achieved it by conquest, having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what the name of Jesus means. The three possible ways in which it is possible to accomplish a name, Jesus fulfilled the three requests, the three conditions. He was given a name. It was bestowed upon him. Because he was the first to come out of spiritual death. Having spoiled principalities and powers, and he purged our sins, it was given to him as a reason, by reason of his conquest. You know, it's only in this side of the world that you have somebody becoming a general without winning a war. But you don't become a general without winning a war. When they say general, everybody knows that this is somebody who went to fight a war and won and came back. So by conquest, he was given that name by reason of his conquest. And in Hebrews chapter 1 that we just read, the Bible says, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Glory to God. Comparing him to angels. Hallelujah. The New Testament is a revelation. He explains the mysteries of the whole. In the New Testament, we understand. He was comparing the ministry of Jesus, the standing of Jesus, the status of Jesus to that of angels. He said, to which of the angels said God at any time, thou art my son? Somebody says, but in the Old Testament, angels were referred to as sons of God, figure of speech, because they had a nature about them that was godly. They were referred to by men who were spiritually dead as sons of God. They were not sons of God. We understand from the New Testament in Acts chapter 7 that even when God appeared unto Abraham, it wasn't God, it was an angel that appeared unto him. I can take you verse by verse and show you. It was an angel that appeared. They received the disposition of the law by disposition of angels and they didn't follow it. It was an angel that wrote the commandments for him. It was an angel. And some people have even said things like, you know, when the Bible speaks about the angel of his presence. So they say things like Jesus was like an angel. The three men that appeared to Abraham and his wife in Genesis chapter 18 were angels. They were angels. Who is the angel of his presence? Some of them said he's the Holy Ghost. You find that phrase, angel of his presence, in Isaiah chapter 63. But the New Testament begins to reveal to us who the angel of his presence is. It's Gabriel. It means the one who conveys God's presence, because he stands in God's presence perpetually as a messenger angel. That's who he is. It was one who brought good tidings of great joy to Zechariah. He brought good tidings of great joy to Mary. He appeared to Joseph in a dream to speak about it. He's an angel of God's presence. Not Jesus, not an angel. So when you hear people saying that Jesus was also an angel and he became a man, what blasphemy. To which of the angels has he ever said, thou art my son? But to the son he said, thou God, thy throne is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. For those who understood the Old Testament, Jesus was arguing with the Pharisees. He said, you are saying Christ is the son of David. Then why did David say, the Lord said to my Lord, hey, sit thou at my right hand. All the Pharisees kept quiet. That's true. How can he be David's son? And David said, the Lord said to my soul. Which is, David was eavesdropping on conversation. That was going on. You understand? When he was prophet, he was absorbing. He said, I heard the Lord say to my Lord, sit down at my right hand. Glory to God. See, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Revelations of the majesty of the name, of the import of the person of Jesus. Even from the Old Testament. The Lord said if David is calling him Lord, and how did he become David's son? Nobody could answer him. Because he didn't understand what he was saying. That's what something's saying. How can he be his son? That means he must be figuratively his son. He can't be really his son because he just called him Lord. How can you call your own son Lord? It was a mystery. They couldn't understand that this was God revealing the plan of salvation right from the Old Testament. Find the scripture I just quoted in Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand. So David said. So if David could say that, then how then is he David's son? Since they couldn't answer, Jesus left them to their dilemma. Okay. Until you can answer that, then I won't say anything further. There was a revelation from the Old Testament about the magnitude, the majesty, the import behind that mighty name. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 1. Before we go to Hebrews 1, let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 9. Colossians 2, 9. Are you getting something tonight? Glory to God. I don't know how to explain what happens when I'm teaching about this subject, but I'm telling you, I just forget every outline. And I just flow. It is intoxicating. Hallelujah. Verse 9, for in him, this is Christ, hallelujah, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jehovah Rapha is there. Shammah is there. Roy is there. Sikhenu is there. Mekadishkem is there. Elohim is there. Jireh is there. In him dwelleth the fullness. So if you want to say all those things, you'll say Jesus. In him dwelleth. So when you are saying Jesus, you have protection, you have standing, you have righteousness, you have peace, you have joy, you have provision. In the name of Jesus, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily. In these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son. No more partial revelation, but a full revelation. He is not just our Savior, he is our salvation. He's not just our helper, he is the help itself. Hallelujah. He didn't just make us righteous, he is our righteousness. He didn't just justify us, he is our justification. He didn't just make peace, he is our peace now. He is everything that we can ever need. I am that I am. Glory to God. When he had by himself purged our sins, he arose and sat down on the Father's right hand. The heir of all things. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8 from verse 14. Let's read. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Next verse. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Next verse. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Next verse. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we'll be glorified together. If heirs, then we are heirs of God. What did we read in Hebrews chapter 1? Go back to Hebrews chapter 1 now. I'm going to round up now as we begin to pray. Hebrews chapter 1 again. Glory to God. Verse 3, let me jump to verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power when he had by himself purged our sins. Let me read verse 2. He has in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed what? Who he appointed one? Heir of all things. The question is, what did he inherit? Verse 4. Being made so much. When was he made so much? When he rose from the dead. When he sat down on the right hand of majesty. After he had purged our sins. So his sitting down on the right hand was because he had purged our sins. Or he has made an end of sins forever. Forever. He had offered a perfect sacrifice that cannot be tampered with. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be removed from it. So he sat down. The only high priest ever to sit. Ever to sit. See what it says now. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So the name is not Jesus. The name is standing, is relationship. That the way he relates with the Father, who he is in the Father's eyes, is far greater than any angel will ever be. Then he begins to qualify what that means. See what it means. Because we'll see that the inheritance is the name. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. This cannot be referring to when he was born in Jerusalem. Think about it. This cannot be. All to which of the angels said at any time, thou art my son, this day have I won, begot, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Look at the next verse. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. Always pay attention to the senses. Because when he bringeth in again, the first begotten in the world, what does he mean by again? He was brought in the first time. That's the incarnation. He was born to the woman. What's the second one? He died spiritually on the cross. He became sin. He was buried. He went to hell. He purged our sins and paid it. It was God's sacrifice for sins. So he bringeth in again the first begotten means he was now born out of the womb of spiritual death. And when he arose and he ascended, God said to him, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And as a son, inheritance belongs to sons. He inherited all things. And one of the things he inherited is that name. A name that was reserved. A name that was stored. A name that was kept hidden from the foundation of the world. Reserved for the conqueror. Reserved for the honorable one. Reserved from the one who will accomplish that particular function. He was given that name. He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. But that is the name that we are all called. So next time when you say in the name of Jesus, is in the name of eternal life, in the name of the new creation, in the name of salvation, in the name of forgiveness of sins. That's what you are saying. It's a name that belongs to us. It was given to the new creation. And as he is, so are we. Glory to God. So it's our name. We are joint heirs. We're not co-heirs. We're joint heirs. If you don't understand the difference between co and joint, you need to ask a lawyer. That means except a counter signs, you can't get anything. No, you can sign in any time. You are joint heirs. You have an equal share. That's what it means. We are joint heirs with him. Why? We have the same father. We have the same spirit of adoption whereby we cry Abba Father. Hallelujah. So when we are praying in the name, you are confident that answers cannot but come. It's no longer a guess game. It is that you and the I am are one. So you also are now. Hallelujah. You also are now. It's our name. It's not just his name. It is our name. That they may be one as we are one. You in me and I in them. That they may know that you have loved them as you have loved me. So when he was saying that in that day, I'm not saying unto you that I will ask the Father for you. No, you will ask the Father yourself because the Father has loved you as he has loved me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By him we have access by faith into this grace where we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, that name belongs to me. That name is my standing. That's my representation in the realm of the Spirit. The name of Jesus, I stand up in that name. I sit down in that name. I move on in that name. I walk around in that name. I am at liberty in that name. I pray in that name. I bring heaven down to earth in that name. I work miracles in that name. I get answers to prayer in that name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet and pray in the Spirit tonight. Saying we live with all from those that walk upright. In that name, no good thing is withheld. Avlos of the power of God in and through me. I excel in everything that I do. I'm completing all of the will of God. In the coming year, I see. Yes, kes ye kes la prokote elo prokota priata kase esu prokoto brahite ye no brusa brakate
Israel.
Woo, glory. Oh,
let's exalt him. Let's give him thanks with the same intensity. Let's thank him with the same intensity. Let's thank him and praise him. Ah, for sabra katoye, ele brusta kalamansto kabuhe. Esu brut ele praise you, we praise you, we praise you. O bale mandre teko sabra kastolo gita. No good thing, no good thing, no good thing. We told from those that walk upright, we praise you, we praise you. Oh, baka presele bastoli kabati, ele brusta brakaste brekusta bragata. We give you thanks, we give you praise. E brusta bragato, ele Castani, la bracosta bracastic, elegetia, ele brech de brocos de bracatobori, eleneca, beromonga sabracaste brecos de brocos de brecitiliga, chigile brecotoporina, ebros de brech de brestic, ebracos de brocos de vretia la casto, lubrique, 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 elubrocasta la gatoia, e chebronga tassique dia, acobori, 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 bahutali braste. Que cite esso tabari le pucate le tiste che so o saprasti le geste e ne comario o le imbricatos o brachite li attaste e no ungeleba l'ombroti a caste che sike e con l'imbracatos o le ne bracatosi attasta e che le bori e pasto for the great things alla prole caste che sike tia that are ways that are there, thank you for all some things and righteousness, thank you for the signs and the wonders, thank you for the testimonies abounding, thank you for the increase that's unrelenting, thank you lo prastele gaste nonge ele boca brata kiste sevrestele ke teke tiste ele no giu. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you.
Coming here, thank you for the mighty harvests that comes in. Thank you because the name of the Lord Jesus exalted and glorified in the nations. Thank you. Thank you for your angels at work like never before. The harvest is coming in. Yeah, we're cheering on. We are rejoicing and we are celebrating with you, Father. Thank you for your love comes abroad to the hearts of all men. Men are responding to the gospel. Men are coming to the light. The darkness is fading. The light is ever shining. We give you praise and glory. Thank you, Father, for that matchless name and the grace and the mighty things and the marvelous things that spring forth because of that name. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name, we give thanks. Amen.